Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. In what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told those gathered to be perfect like their Father in heaven. The concept of being perfect has captured the minds of people reading the Bible. Some believe this is a command to live life completely without sin, and yet we know from 1 John that if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Being perfect does not mean being completely without sin, because as we just read, if we believe we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and are without truth. That standard applied when we were first called and will continue to apply until we are changed into incorruptible spirit, having fully received the gift of eternal life. The Greek word for perfect is teleos, meaning mentally or morally complete, of a full age, implying maturity. And translated variations of perfect, such as perfection, are derived from variations of the Greek word teleos. From Hebrews, we can see moving towards perfection is like building on a foundation. There are different styles of foundations that can be used for building. And whatever style of foundation is used, that foundation is used to secure what is built above it to the ground below it. In our faith, we must do the same, and this is clearly shown to us in the book of Hebrews. We are taught that we must move beyond the basic doctrines which begin with repentance from dead works. We are not told to abandon this, to ignore it, to belittle it, because when Jesus Christ died and was resurrected for our sins, it made eternal life possible for all who are called and who love God, meaning who keep His commandments. Hebrews tells us we have to go beyond this, as this is an elementary principle of faith. In elementary or grade school, students are taught the basics, and if any critical thinking skills are taught, those critical thinking skills are taught and learned in a basic way, with a student naturally not having a wealth of life experiences to draw from. Along with the basic spiritual principle that we live lives of sin and that Jesus died for us and was resurrected so we could have the opportunity for eternal life, are other elements that encompass the spiritual foundation, such as faith towards God, the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. These are the elementary principles of faith, which, with God's blessing, we will understand and do. We must move towards perfection by moving spiritually beyond these. Moving towards spiritual perfection does not mean we are licensed by God to delve into all types of spiritual speculation. Some have allowed spiritual speculation to become a source of doctrine. When we allow spiritual speculation to take the forefront of our beliefs, we are allowing disputes over doubtful things to enter our faith. Disputes over doubtful things do not build up and edify. Disputes over doubtful things tear down, destroy, and separate. With the Church of God splintered into many groups, there is little to no room for debate that disputes over doubtful things have taken root within the Church of God, and this cannot be. We are to move towards perfection, spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is not a license to do whatever we feel needs to be done, nor is it a license to ignore what God would have us do. We cannot fall away from the faith and think we are spiritually mature. Spiritually mature people do not allow themselves to fall away from the faith. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Spiritual maturity involves an understanding that we as God's people are in this together, in support of each other, never giving up on the faith until the end, whether that is the end of our physical life through death or a change to a mortal spirit at the return of Jesus. Spiritual maturity involves being diligent with our faith. Those who are spiritually mature are thorough with their faith. Spiritually mature people are not lazy with their faith. They purposefully exercise their faith, knowing that just as God promised an inheritance to Abraham, promises of eternal life are also made. Verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance and hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Spiritually mature people know that there is always room for spiritual growth. These are the people who put away the evil practices they see around them. They put away malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, and evil thoughts and words, knowing they must seek spiritual nourishment. Just like a baby has its whole life in front of it, spiritually mature people seek spiritual nourishment, knowing they have their spiritual life in front of them. They distance themselves from the pools of this world and choose not to participate in practices that are widely accepted, all while striving to be viewed as an honest person by non-believers, even when they are falsely accused of doing wrong. Spiritually mature people do nothing to give other people an advantage over them. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that he may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. To the Colossians, Paul wrote of the desire that all who are called become spiritually mature. He told them to continue in the faith, grounded and settled, to not be moved around. Paul wanted them to have a very strong spiritual foundation. Without a strong foundation, a building is more likely to succumb to the elements around it. With strong winds, the building might be moved. With a strong foundation, the building is less likely to be moved. Those who are spiritually mature are much less likely to be duped by the forces of evil. for a building, there will come a point when even the best built building will succumb to nature around it. For us, we can take comfort knowing that God will not allow us to face any situation we cannot withstand. Colossians 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Even though we should think of ourselves as always being in need of spiritual growth, we are not to remain spiritually immature. We are to spiritually mature, to grow up. As is written in Hebrews, we are to become skilled in the meat of the word and not relying on the milk of the word. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. While speaking of love as the greatest between love, hope, and faith, Paul interjects that when he was a child, he understood and thought as a child, and when he matured, he put away childish things. As we spiritually mature, we move from spiritually understanding and thinking as a child to understanding and thinking as an adult. And Paul tells us this while stressing the significance of love. Without the love that Paul writes about, we cannot have spiritual maturity. Without love, we are a spiritual child. We spiritually understand as a child. We spiritually think as a child. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Love is the key to spiritual maturity. When Jesus taught about loving your enemy along with your neighbor, to bless your enemies, and to pray for all who despitefully use you, it was with these words that Jesus told us this is the pathway toward perfection, spiritual maturity. Matthew 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Spiritual maturity comes through the power of God and not the wisdom of men. All a person can do is point you to what God has already told us. But there is nothing that a person will self-originate that will countermand the wisdom that is of God. It is through the wisdom of God that we connect with people who are spiritually mature. People who are not spiritually mature will find challenges in understanding the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God is like a mystery to them. They can sense it. They can hear the words that are spoken or read the words that are written, and do so without thorough understanding. Even those who are looked to for leadership positions, whether in political, civic, or business environments, can lack this understanding. To many of them, including to many of those who are most successful, they are not spiritually mature because they do not have, nor do they understand, the wisdom that is of God. They see the wisdom of God as foolishness. Those who are spiritually mature understand this and live a life so that those who are not called of God have no reason to condemn them. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul later added in that same letter to the Corinthians of the need to not be children in their understanding. When it comes to spiritual understanding, Paul wanted them to be spiritually mature. The one area that Paul wanted them to be as children was in the area of sin. Those who are spiritually mature will be well-versed in spiritual matters and be much less experienced in areas of evil. Paul explained that miracles are not given as a sign to those who believe, who are spiritually mature. One who is spiritually mature has no need of a sign to confirm their beliefs. Beliefs are innately part of all who are spiritually mature. Miracles are a sign to those who do not believe, those for whom spiritual immaturity would be an improvement. On the miracle continuum, where miracles are a sign for those who do not believe and are not a sign for those who believe, who are spiritually mature, where do we fit? Do we need miracles to confirm our beliefs, or are our beliefs innately already part of who we are? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, be it in malice ye be children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his hearts made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your woman keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, for they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. As we spiritually mature, we begin to consider our life and how we are responding to the calling that God has given us. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot even begin to consider this. Those who are spiritually mature know they are called to glory and virtue. Those who are spiritually mature know that faith will help endure this physical existence and look forward to a spiritual existence at the return of Jesus Christ. Those who are spiritually mature know that life today cannot be like life for everyone else. There must be virtue to the life of those who are spiritually mature, a virtue that goes well beyond what the people of this world consider to be good. The virtue that the spiritually mature embrace focuses our attention not on the sin that is part of this world, but on the incredible promise of eternal life that is given to those who are called. Those who are spiritually mature start with faith like all others who are called and are diligent. They exercise their faith. Their faith is not a passive part of who they are. Their faith is an active part of who they are. The spiritually mature person takes actions based on their faith in accordance with their faith. With diligence and the foundation of faith, they add virtue, this action that is part of our faith. The spiritually mature person increases their knowledge of what is written in the Bible. And they also understand many of the common arguments made by man against what is written in the Bible, and are able to defend their faith through the proper use of knowledge. The spiritually mature person exercises temperance, meaning they increasingly are exercising greater and greater levels of self-control. Beyond self-control, the spiritually mature person exercises patience, the ability to wait for a future result, even though the current situation is less than desirable. Beyond patience, the spiritually mature have godliness. In other words, they are like David, who was a man after God's own heart. Beyond godliness, the spiritually mature exercise brotherly kindness, the ability to treat others in the faith as if they were a cherished family member. Beyond this, at the top of spiritual maturity, is love. Without love, we cannot be spiritually mature. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. We are to make our election, our calling by God, a for sure thing. If something needs to be made for sure, it is not yet certain at this time. It might be very probable. It might even be 99.99% sure. But only when something is 100% is it a for sure thing. Sadly, within the Church of God are some who emphasize knowledge. On the spiritually mature continuum, which we just read in 2 Peter, knowledge is needed and is at the very low end. If we focus on knowledge, we are focused on an area that is closer to spiritual immaturity than spiritual maturity. The spiritual maturity that we seek is one that is based in freedom, where we are no longer afraid of the penalty of the law, knowing that we do not have a license to sin, and rather have a need to love. If we find ourselves bickering with each other, we have not yet arrived on that upper level of spiritual maturity. We are not to be led by the flesh, and we are to be led by the Holy Spirit. We are to grow the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing more tasty than ripe fruit, and more sour than immature fruit. God wants our spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to be mature. God wants us to have love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. God wants us to be spiritually mature. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. When Jesus built his church, the church of God, the gates of hell would not prevail against it. That church was purposed to lead people to spiritual maturity. Church is not a social club. It is not a place to congregate in fear. It is not a place to aggrandize certain people of faith and diminish others. Within the church of God are different offices of ministry, and these exist to help the brethren become spiritually mature, to serve as a hub for the ministry so that the people of God can become stronger and more grounded in the faith. Until we collectively understand the doctrines of faith, comprehend the significance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, becoming spiritually mature so that we are not tossed about like a ship in a storm on a raging spiritual ocean. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, but is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, and gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Being perfect is not about being without sin. It is about becoming spiritually mature. Those who are spiritually mature will avoid sin like the plague and will seek to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit within them, knowing that those who are spiritually mature develop love, the kind of love that allows a person to love their enemies and pray for those who despitefully use them. Those who are spiritually mature know there are many elements and nuances to spiritual maturity and see spiritual maturity as a lifetime process, not a process that is already achieved. They are diligent in their faith. They exercise their faith. They have love and much more. They have peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. They are like David, a man after God's own heart, who knew that God was in the generation of the righteous. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They were all gone aside. They were altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. He has shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.